The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 10, Text Number 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari, recorded on April 28th, 2008, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 10, Maharaj Rahuguna meets Jad Bharat, Text Number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Stayam karshyam vajayadhyascha chutritpayam kale richajaracha nidraratir manyurahang madashucho dehena jatasya himena santi.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Fatness, thinness, bodily and mental distress, thirst, hunger, fear, disagreement, desires for material happiness, old age, sleep, attachment for material possessions, anger, lamentation, illusion, and identification of the body with the self are all transformations of the material covering of the spirit soul. A person absorbed in the material bodily conception is affected by these things. But I am free from all bodily conceptions. Consequently, I am neither fat nor skinny nor anything else you have mentioned. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung Deha Smriti Nahi Yara Sangsara Bandhana Kahantara. One who is spiritually advanced has no connection with the body or with the bodily actions and reactions. When one comes to understand that he is not the body and is therefore neither fat nor skinny, one attains the topmost form of spiritual realization. When one is not spiritually realized, the bodily conception entangles one in the material world. At the present moment, all human society is laboring under the bodily conception. Therefore, in the Shastras, people in this age are referred to as Dvipada Pashu, two-legged animals. No one can be happy in a civilization conducted by such animals. Our Krishna consciousness movement is trying to raise the fallen human society to the status of spiritual understanding. It is not possible for everyone to become immediately self-realized like Jad Bharat. However, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.18, Natrapa Eshra Badreshu Nircham Bhagavata Sevaya. By spreading the Bhagavat principles, we can raise human society to the platform of perfection. When one is not affected by the bodily conceptions, one can advance to the Lord's devotional service. Natrapa Eshra Badreshu Nircham Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavad Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. The more we advance our freedom from the bodily conception, the more we are fixed in devotional service, and the more we are happy and peaceful. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says that those who are too materially affected continue the bodily conception. Such persons are concerned with different bodily symptoms, Whereas one freed from bodily conceptions lives without the body even in the material condition.
Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So what's the point? The point is we're not the body. This puffed up king, he was chastising Jad Bharat on the basis of body. But this Jad Bharat, he was not ordinary palanquin carrier. He's chastised the king for his material consciousness. He didn't care about being punished by the king, you see. This is a Brahman, you see. He will speak the truth fearlessly. He's not bought out by money. The modern day so-called Brahmins, the priests, the college professors, they're simply purchased by money. That's all. But in former times, it was not like that. Even a few centuries ago, in Krishna Nagar, how many of you have been to Mayapur? You know, there is that town, Krishna Nagar. You've heard that Krishna Nagar near Mayapur, yeah. It's a major city near Mayapur, Krishna Nagar. So, some centuries ago in that Krishna Nagar, in those days there was king, Krishna Rai, he was king. So, Krishna Rai, the king, he heard that there was a Brahmin in his kingdom who was living in poverty. So he wanted to give all charity to that Brahmin so he would no longer be living in poverty. So he went to the edge of the kingdom to find that Brahmin. Actually, that Brahmin was living under a tree with his wife. And he would teach, he was having a little gurukula to the neighborhood village children. He would teach them. That is the business of a Brahmin, to give education. But he does not charge a fee, he gives that freely. And then whatever comes as a result of his teaching, that he accepts. So the king Krishna Rai came to that Brahman. He said, "Brahman, I heard you are living in poverty. I want to bestow upon you all wealth." The Brahman said, "Poverty? What do you mean, poverty? Can't you see I'm living under this tamarind tree? And my students, they bring me one handful of rice as Guru Dakshina." And my wife, she takes that rice and she cooks it in the pot with a leaf from the tamarind tree. And this way we are eating very luxuriantly. What do you mean, poverty stricken? I don't need your wealth. And also, even in the Greek Empire, in the Greek days, there were many famous Greek philosophers. They were like the Brahmins. Actually, the Greek culture, it is a spin-off of Vedic culture. The two sons of the Vedic king Maharaj Tejasi, they formed the Greek and Roman empires. Tejasi. Yeah. So, the famous Greek king, Alexander the Great. He went to the famous philosopher Diogenes. He wanted to render some service to the Brahman. So this Diogenes, he was a very renowned man. He took as his residence one barrel. Barrel, you know, like the... It's a wooden barrel, you know, with a wood... You know what barrel is? It's like you can put water in it. It's like a garbage can. But it's made out of wood. So he was living in this barrel. So Alexander the Great, he came, he looked down into the barrel at Diogenes. And he said, "Diogenes, how can I serve you?" He said, "Get out of the way, you're blocking the sunlight." So this is Brahman, you see. You cannot bribe him with money. He will speak the truth in any circumstance. So this is the quality of this Jad Bharat. He is very advanced Brahman, you see, pure Vaishnava Brahman. He will speak the truth. He does not care if the king even will put him to death, it doesn't matter. He will speak the truth. And because of his detachment, not being a dancing dog in the hands of money, you see. He can speak with great power. There is great force in his words. And if someone is even a little bit open-minded, they will be powerfully affected by his words. So, Jad Bharat now, he is giving this information, how we are not the body. That is the whole foundation of the self-realization process. As long as I think that I am this body, can I make any progress? If you think you're an Estonian man, can you make any progress in this pathway? If you think you're an Estonian woman, can you make any progress in this pathway? It is not possible. One must become free from this bodily conception. Otherwise, no matter how much endeavor you may make to advance spiritually, you will go nowhere. In this connection, there is a very nice story told by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. You know, in India, a wedding is a very big thing. Wedding, when may get married, yeah. Not just the family, but the whole village will come for the wedding, you see. It's big, big festival when there's wedding, you see. So, generally, they will marry one boy from one village with a girl from another village. This way, when the children are growing up, they will not think that this girl can be my wife. They don't think sexually, you see. They marry from different villages. To help people become free from any thoughts of sex pleasure, you see. So anyway, the villagers were coming from one village to the other village where the wedding was going to be held the next day. And on the way to the village, there was a huge body of water. Just like here, you have the Gulf of Finland between here and Helsinki, you see. Huge body of water. We come on the boat, and it takes us 3 hours to cross the water, you see. With powerful engine rowing, you see. So, it was not as big as the Gulf of Finland, but they had to row with the oars, so it's a big endeavor to get across the water, you see. So, in the evening time, the villagers from one village, they came to the river. And the sun had just set. The sun had just gone down for the night. So, they woke up the boatmen, they were sleeping. And the villagers woke up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And there's a wedding happening in the morning. You have to immediately take us across this vast body of water. Otherwise, we will be late for the wedding. So the boatmen woke up. They shook the sleep out of their eyes. And the villagers got in the big boat. And they started rowing. Whole night, rowing, 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 rowing. And in the early morning, when the sun came up on the eastern horizon, the villagers woke up thinking, oh, now we will be on the other side, at the village where the wedding is going to happen. But then, they were shocked. The boat hadn't gone anywhere. It was still at the original bank where they had gotten on the boat. How is that possible? And the boatmen had been rowing the whole night. And the boat had not gone anywhere. They said, "Boatman, boatman, what's going on? Why the boat has not gone anywhere?" The boat went, "Oh my God. We forgot to pull in the anchor." So, this story illustrates a very simple point. You have one anchor, and that is called the bodily conception. If you are thinking you are an Estonian woman or an Estonian man, you see, then your anchor is stuck in the mud. And you're not going to go anywhere. I don't care how much endeavor you make for self-realization, you will not make any advancement. You can endeavor day in and day out, week after week, month after month, but still you will not make any advancement. You must kick out this bodily conception. And what does that mean in practical terms? No more sense gratification. Sense gratification comes because you think you're the body. If I think I'm a male, I want to gratify my male body. If I identify with my body, I want to gratify my tongue. I want to drink coffee. I want to smoke cigarettes. I want to drink liquor. I want to have sex pleasure. You see? And this is all from the false bodily conception. But if you will kick out with boot this false conception, fully realizing that Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit soul, then you'll be following that golden pathway of bhakti. Chalked out by Srila Jadbharat. And your pathway back to home, back to Godhead, will be unobstructed. It will be clear sailing back to home, back to Godhead. So, I can ask now if there are any questions. Yeah.
But the body needs some, let's say, sense gratification in order to keep it working. So, how much is like enough? Where's the line?
Yes. Just like when you take prasadam. You can, if you take two, you don't take enough prasadam, you won't have any energy for doing service. But if you take too much prasadam also, you won't have any energy for doing service. So you take enough prasad to where you're fully energized for service, you see. And you take enough sleep to where you're fully energized for service. So we are not against sense gratification. We are against excessive sense gratification. Just like when you put the gasoline in your car, you fill the tank to the brim. And do you keep pumping the gas after the tank is full? If you do, the gas will just come all over the park, it'll just go everywhere, all over the car, all over the ground, it's a waste. So you take enough sense gratification to keep body and soul fit for serving Krishna. Beyond that, it is not your quota. What is that verse? Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Ishavasham idam sarvam yatkincha jagajam jagad tena chaktena bunjita magrida kashas vidyanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things which have been set aside as one's quota, knowing well to whom they belong. There is nothing here that is your property. Everything is the property of Krishna. You're allowed to use what you need to energize yourself for a life of bhakti. If you go beyond that, you are a thief and you'll be punished by the laws of nature. So one should always be very cautious not to overindulge the senses. Just like if you eat too much, you become sick. Instant karma, you see. Any other question? That's right, you won't make any progress.
But if we identify ourselves with the body, we can progress from tamagun to
Still we can progress from tamagun to moral goodness.
No, right? You can progress to rajagun. But you can, sattvagun means you have knowledge, spiritual knowledge. You may progress to rajagun, but if you want to call that progress. You know what Prabhupada said? Tamagun is inactivity. Rajagun is activity, very active. You see. So Prabhupada said, if they are foolish, it's better they remain inactive. You see, knowledge, that is sattvagun. Knowledge of the difference between the body and the self, that is sattvagun. And then when you become perfect in applying that knowledge, that is Shuddha Sattva. There are four positions. Inactivity, that is Tamagun. To be very active in the bodily conception, that is Rajagun. To know the distinction between matter and spirit, that is Sattvagun. And to perfectly apply that distinction, that is Shuddha Sattva. So I agree, you can advance, but that advancement isn't very worthwhile. To Rajagun, you can advance. You become very active karmi. You see? That is some advancement. Yes.
But isn't the karmic activity is just like animal activity? So where is the progress?
No, не так ли, что ведь все-таки вот эта деятельность кармик, как животное, делится, в чем тогда прогресс?
Where is the what?
Progress.
Yes. They are progressing toward hell. Just like the modern day society, you see, they made big, big arrangements. This is Rajagun society, you see. Big, big skyscraper buildings. Just like these ships that go back and forth between here and, you know, Helsinki. Big, big, big arrangement with liquor, gambling. And we see the people, they come from Helsinki because the liquor is cheaper in Tallinn. They come with their little carts and their wagons. And they come off the boat in Helsinki with a whole wagon full of Estonian liquor, you see. This is called the progress of civilization. They get on a cruise ship and they go to Tallinn to buy liquor. And sometimes they can't even wait to get off the boat before they get drunk. And they have to stagger off the boat in Helsinki. This is their so-called progress, isn't it? They're simply going down and becoming lower than animals. That's it. Any other questions? Yes, Rajagun is also low. So what's the question? You're checking the translation? Any other questions? Yeah.
So is it that, right now, it's a little bit longer, okay? So right now, for instance, like all the people, like in Estonia and Finland, all over the world, they are engaging in sinful activities. So they're engaging in sinful activities, and this a lot, and this I mean, the karma comes anyway, right?
What anyway?
They generate very much very bad karma.
Yes, yes.
And even let's say they have some. Some goodness in them.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it may seem they're indulging in that, but they don't get reactions right now. But how to say the generation, like the next generation, or like after like some years?
No, they get sometimes immediate reaction too.
Sometimes immediate, but is it like...
sometimes in the next life too.
In the next life too, but I mean... it is like I want to say that all the sinful activities they must, how to say, is it true they must manifest like collectively, like wars and such?
Of course, collective karma. Yes.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. Just like severe winter is a collective karma for all the people living here. See? Any other question?
Transcendental energy of Krishna, it means
transcendental what?
Energy.
Transcendental energy.
Energy
of Krishna is when silence.
Silence.
Yeah. And when we silence.
Transcendental energy of Krishna is when it's silent, quiet.
Is what?
Quiet.
Silent?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. And she said that when we pronounce something, it is more than goodness. She said when we pronounce
when we make some sound, then it is more than goodness.
Yeah, at least more than goodness.
Not directly.
Or maybe material, some material.
When the transcendental energy of Krishna is silent and it makes a sound, it's some mode of goodness?
Mode of goodness, or it is
or maybe material also.
The transcendental energy of Krishna is manifested in the transcendental sound of his flute. That is not in the mode of material modes of nature. The sound of Krishna's voice is a manifestation of his transcendental energy, and it is purely in the transcendental dimension. Do not fall into the Mayavadi trap of thinking that in the spiritual existence there is no sound. What is the proof? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare is the transcendental energy of Krishna. It is fully manifested in sound. Hare! Brahmins?
We don't know what is their meditation.
Brahmins meditate quietly, so we do not know what is their meditation.
Yeah,
there are those Brahmins who are impersonalists who want to meditate on the impersonal Brahman by silent meditation. But Bhagavatam says that their so-called liberation is simply imagination. Ruya krishchena parang padam tada padanchito nadrita yushma dangriyaha. The exact word used in the Bhagavatam is vimukti maninas. It is simply imagination. Those who practice silent meditation, they want to stop their thinking. They want to make their mind blank. But yet they are thinking, I have to make my mind blank. I have to make my mind blank. I have to make my mind blank. That is not blank mind. They are still thinking, I have to make my mind blank. This idea of making of meditating on nothingness is simply an illusion. Because there's no such thing as nothingness except as a concept. And one's mind can never be satisfied by this so-called silence of nothingness. If I put you in a closet where there is no sound, and there is no light, and I say, now you must sit there for all of eternity, would you be happy? No prasadam. Nothing but silence. They sometimes are frustrated with the sights and sounds of this material world. So they say, give me nothingness, that will be relief. And they go on for a little while in their so-called nothingness. But then their senses become agitated. And my exalted God-brother, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, before he joined this movement, he was practicing impersonal meditation. Dry austerities. He would live in the forest eating only the brown rice. But then he couldn't stand it. He would come into the city and go to an ice cream parlor and eat ice cream like anything. So, if you try to make your mind blank by silent meditation, for some time you can become very proud that, yes, I am now one with Brahman, I am God. But you cannot remain satisfied in that impersonal meditation. And you will come back again to material sense gratification. But if you want actual permanent transcendental existence, then you must connect yourself with Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound vibration. Because there you can find eternal peace. There you can find eternal satisfaction. And there you can be blessed with full knowledge for all of eternity. It's all right there in the mantra. It is not ordinary mantra. It is Maha Mantra. It is all there for you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So you take shelter of that mantra, that transcendental sound. Give up your attraction to so-called silence. This is the greater silence. This is the supreme silence. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Looks like she meant, when she said about silent meditation, she meant
ask,
silence,
ask.
Meditation. She didn't mean Gayatri, but there are people who chant,
ask.
Sit down and meditate quietly.
She must know what the Brahmins in ISKCON meditate when they chant their Gayatri. What the ISKCON Brahmins chant?
Quietly, the Gayatri Mantra.
Yeah.
Now, you will find out when you get your second initiation. Now you're not first initiated yet, are you? Now you qualify for first initiation. Once you get first initiation from the spiritual master, then when you become fixed in chanting Hare Krishna, then he will give you Gayatri Mantra also. It is not a silent thing. It is chanted very softly. It is not nothingness they're meditating on. There is actual sound vibration they meditate on. So now you qualify yourself by sincere service, and when the local authorities recommend you for initiation, then one of the ISKCON gurus, myself or one of the other gurus, you see, we will accept you as disciple. And then when you show that you are steady and you are following your initiation vows, then myself or one of the other gurus, we will give you Brahman initiation and Gayatri Mantra. You simply have to be very steady in your service, that's all. Always trying to serve Sri Krishna. Any other questions? Yes.
So I was wondering that the devotees who make the sound vibration, are they meant to make the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, or they have to do it silently?
Is Hare Krishna chanting should be out loud, or come on, silently meditate on Hare Krishna? Some people say, well, I don't need to chant japa because all day long within my heart I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I don't require japa. But that is cheating. The vibration, our minds are very, very fickle. They're like a naughty child running here, running there, at every minute running for this sense gratification and that sense gratification. So, simply to silently think, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, that is not enough strength, not enough shakti. To subdue the mind, which is like a raging hurricane. So, this Hare Krishna mantra, if it is chanted aloud, there is great shakti. If you can fix on the sound vibration, it is called Nama Avatar. Krishna descends in the form of this sound vibration. So if you fix your mind on Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, then your mind will become perfectly controlled.
If we listen to Hare Krishna mantra, then your mind will be completely controlled.
I can guarantee you, if you just try to silently chant your japa, you won't make progress. You won't go anywhere. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada clearly states, every syllable must be clearly chanted and heard. Any other questions? Everyone satisfied now? Yeah?
If every syllable has to be very properly pronounced, but some devotees chant not Hare Rama, Hare Rama, but Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Is there any difference?
Either way is okay. You can hear Prabhupada on his, you can hear on the recordings of Prabhupada, sometimes he would say, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari Hari. Sometimes he says, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari. Either way, Prabhupada did both ways. But I can tell you this, if you get into the subtleties of linguistics, you cannot say the M without putting an A on the end of it. Ram. Ram. There is a subtle that has to be, you can't say it without an If you say Ram, there's a subtle that goes with it automatically. You're a language major. You should be able to hear that distinction.
Yes, yes, I hear it.
Ram.
There is
a vowel that goes after it. There has to be. You can't say it without a vowel. Just a matter of whether it made it long, short or longer. That's a Rama. But it's Rama. It's there in either case. But one can just go Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari. That's it, right? Okay, anything else? All right, then, so, all right. Ramo, Bengali style. In Bengal, they go Hari Ramo, Hari Yuga, Krishna also. Bengali. We don't require to do. I know I was one time visiting in Mayapur. We went to one nearby village on the bank of the river. Very, very simple villagers, just living in very austere conditions by the bank of the river. And the little children, they came, they were so happy to see the Sankirtan party. And we say Hare Krishna, you see. But these little Bengali kids, they went, this is how they say, they go, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! That's how they say, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Yeah. If you want to sometimes add a little Bengali flavor to your kirtan, no one will mind. Don't make it a fad. Prabhupada, after all, is Bengali.
And
What's that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, in Spanish, Yaya Yaganath, Yaya Yaganath, Yaya Yaganath, Yaya Yaganath.
So are we going to say that?
Huh? So are we going to say no. Yaya? But Bengali is Gaudiya, is Chaitanya. Just like Bengali said, instead of saying they say Chaitanya, they go Chaitana. Chaitana. You know, the Bengali way. A little Bengali flavor is kind of nice because we are Bengali Vaishnavas. Eh? We are in the line of the Bengali Vaishnavas. But Prabhupada did not teach us to sing the Bengali way. But he wouldn't mind a little touch of Bengali flavor here and there, but not a fad. Now we make it completely Bengali style, no. A little touch here and there is okay. Any other question? All right, then, so we're very much appreciating, Mataji and I are very much appreciating how nicely you all have taken care of us here. We'd originally thought only to come for one night, but Krishna arranged and Silame cancelled out. We came here for 3 nights. And we think it was Krishna's arrangement because it was very special and very wonderful here in Tallinn this time. So we look forward. We're already scheduled now to come back in September. So kindly continue on with your activities very nicely serving Nittai Chaitanya Chandra. Serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada with great determination and enthusiasm. Make more and more devotees. Yeah.
If you are finished, I would like to just ask one last final question.
You have a question?
Yeah. Regarding offering flowers to Srila Prabhupada.
I don't know the answer, so... Yeah, I don't know the answer, so
because
I can't comment.
The garland we can put on Srila Prabhupada's neck, but not on the feet. So we have to consider that.
Yeah, I don't know, I can't say.
Just like we once step on flowers that have been offered to the deities, it's almost the same thing. So it's better to have few petals than I'm just thinking, but they can think on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they. When, that can be thought about, yeah. Whether we should take deities that were on the deity flowers and put them at Prabhupada's feet, if Prabhupada would like to put his feet on flowers that have been offered to the deities, that's her question. Such matters we can always consult with the Minister of Deity Worship in Melbourne.
And the common thing I would say that it should not be offered in the people.
Mm-hmm.
Читала лекцию. Mm-hmm. Да. И какая разница здесь, что Господе, сам Шрила Прабхупада, чем он отличен? Он духовен, конечно.
Because the Шрила Прабхупада says that in other temples it is a system where they take a garland from deities and offer to Shrila Prabhupada and later offer to somebody who is...
Yeah, the garland is one thing. Now the issue she's raising, and garland is different than putting it on the feet, that's what she's saying. Garland is one thing. Garland of deity to Prabhupada, garlanding Prabhupada, that's different. She's talking about putting it on his feet. That's her question.
But Ananta Shastra said that there is no difference between Prabhupada's neck or his feet.
From our perspective, but would Prabhupada feel that way about himself doing that? That's the question. From our perspective, that's certainly a thing. But would Prabhupada want to do that? Would he want to put his feet on deity flowers? That's the question. So it's an interesting question. I don't have the answer. We have to advance in Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada told me in one letter, I used to write Prabhupada so many different questions, this question, that question. He wrote me finally in one letter. He said, if you simply engage in devotional service with full sincerity of attitude, 24 hours a day, then Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. So, as the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, we will understand every little detail perfectly. So whenever we encounter such situations, if we don't have a clear answer, then we should try to advance further in Krishna consciousness. And that will resolve everything. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.